Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Metrosite. I am Robin Garris. I'm CEO and Principal Analyst here at Metrogy, and I'm delighted today to have with me Chris Botting, who is the Chief Product Officer and General Manager at IntelliPeer. So Chris, welcome. Happy to have you here today.
Great. Thanks so much, Robin. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So let's just start. I always like to just start by saying, give us some background on yourself, on the company, what you do there. You know, but people need to know the 30-second view of who Chris Botting is.
Sure, thanks. So I've been in the communications area for many years. Currently, Chief Product Officer and General Manager at IntelliPeer. Prior to that, I was Chief Operating Officer of a marketing automation company. Before that, many years as a General Manager and various other roles within Cisco Systems in the contact center space. Mm-hmm. And I started my career in software and hardware development, then moved into product management, marketing, product management, GM, those kinds of things. So a fairly wide background across the whole evolution of the communications industry. So technically we're a CPaaS company. We have a CPaaS, but our focus is really on accelerating customer engagement. So, you know, customer engagement is really important. We talk about customer experience, but it's really how you engage. But we do it in a very agile fashion. So we can help you design a customer experience, deploy it, test it, and iterate it literally within minutes for a brand new customer engagement. We have holistic capabilities. We have voice, messaging, NLP and AI, analytics, highly resilient, reliable network, tremendous scale. And we're very interested in the fact that we can sit in with customers. We can either provide a complete customer experience or a customer engagement solution, or we can augment whatever system they may already have or systems that they already have.
Yeah, you guys are definitely doing a lot of cool stuff at IntelliPeer for sure. And one of the things as I've looked at the company is how you guys help on-premises companies. And I know that everything you hear out there is, oh, everyone's moving to the cloud. And certainly a lot of companies are moving in the cloud. But and you know, a lot of people are in CCaaS or even in hybrid environments right now, but there are still a lot of organizations, particularly in the contact center space, as you well know, that remain on premises. These are a lot of the very large contact centers with a lot of customization built in, tens of thousands of agents and more even in some cases. And I would say that it used to be the case that when you had that type of an architecture, an on-premise architecture, your innovation was slowed a little bit. By nature of being on-prem, you couldn't just quickly add a cloud-based app from the cloud ecosystem that you might have been in a CCaaS environment. So, but I think some of the things that you guys are doing have changed that. You know, you're kind of helping those on-premises providers be more innovative, and I was hoping maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Well, certainly. So contact center, especially on-premises environments, but this goes for cloud environments as well, are they started out as closed systems, and then over time they began to open up and open up more. Mm-hmm. So as systems become more open, it's easier to augment them with additional kind of capabilities. And we do that. We'll sit next to a contact center, or we can sit over the top of the contact center and add additional capabilities that way. So one way is to think about integrating into the agent desktop. So workforce management used to be a standalone application. Now it's integrated into the agent cockpit. And we can integrate in messaging capabilities and things like that into that cockpit. But if you need additional things like you don't have messaging or you want to add in some other spare capacity or whatever, we can sit on top of the contact center also and run over the top kind of model. Yeah. So your starting premise is very interesting though. You're saying people who are on premises today, there are people who are on premises will always be on premises for a variety of reasons. There are people who are on premises who want to get to the cloud. They don't know how, they don't know where to go. And we help them in that by taking work streams off of what they have today and start moving them to cloud where they figure out what their long-term cloud strategy is. And we have customers who are on the cloud, or when I say cloud, I mean public cloud, private cloud, hybrid cloud, or any combination. But they're on cloud and they want to move back to premises. So again, it's helping them move across the thresholds And there's ways to do it where you can either just plop a brand new solution in, like, I want to move to cloud. Fine, pick a cloud vendor and move there. But as with the premises vendors, cloud vendors have roadmaps. Those roadmaps are broadly fitted to the marketplace. And they don't always meet the customization needs of premises-based contact centers because they may have been on premises for 10, 15 years and spent millions of dollars to customize it. You're not going to find that customized environment in the cloud. So the question is then, how do you make that jump if you want to make the jump?
Right.
And that
right.
is you have to go in and redesign all your workflows, your work processes, and your security requirements and all these pieces, or you come out, come into it with auxiliary skills and capabilities, which is part of our value prop.
Yeah, and it is interesting though, because to your point, I mean, in our research too, we see, you know, a lot of people moving to the cloud, moving to hybrid cloud environments, but there is a small percentage. It's about around 7 to 8%, not 7 to 8% of companies who have gone from on-prem to the cloud who are now saying, you know what, we want to go back. We like it better in the on-prem environment. We have either more control or, you know, we like the customization we can do. In some cases, they're spending less, you know, it just kind of depends. It's a small percentage, but it's measurable, you know, and I think to your point, just being able to go across these different platforms in whatever sense, whatever makes sense for your company is what you want to focus on. And I think that's, you're not passing any judgment of whether you're in the cloud, hybrid, or on-prem, you're going to work with everyone that way. So I think that's good.
Exactly. And I go back to a conversation you and I had some time ago, where customers have a couple of different approaches to figuring out where they want to go and where they want to be. Many customers want to own their own destiny, figure out what their strategy is, and then design solutions and work with vendors to fit in the gaps to accommodate their strategy. And some customers would rather have the vendors, they select the vendor and let the vendors pick out what is the right strategy and the right architecture and how to get there. And it's just interesting juxtaposition on how people manage this.
So I actually get this question a lot as I'm, you know, working with enterprise organizations on just developing their CX strategy overall. And they say, you know, there's all these platforms, there's CCaaS, well, there's UC, there's CPaaS, there's CRM, there's, you know, you can go down the list, right? And I do get the question of, why do I need a CPaaS platform? What can a CPaaS platform do for me or do more easily for me than a CCaaS platform? So, you know, I've been to, you know, many events to talk about this. I was hoping, you know, you're good at explaining this, Chris. I was hoping you could kind of make it really real for the viewers and listeners here today and give them some real world examples of what are you going to be able to do with CPaaS either entirely or just at least better than what you would be able to do with a CCaaS.
So let's just step back just a step if we could. So when people think about a CPaaS, they tend to think about developer led, right? You take a platform, you have a set of APIs, you develop your customer experience or customer engagement application, taking advantage of these APIs.
Yeah.
These are developers. Developers are expensive. It's hard to hire enough developers, things like that. And you're looking at multi-month projects just to get the first iteration out into the marketplace. Once you do that first iteration, then you have sprints or multiple sprints to do the testing like A-B testing, the customer engagement testing, and iteration and things like that. So you're looking at an investment and a long project. Well, so IntelliPeer does that. We support that model. What we do is a little bit differently, though, is that we have a low-code interface where we have a graphical user interface where you can drag and drop components and decision blocks and action blocks and basically build up a similar experience within a matter of a few days. Taking that a step farther with our no-code interface, where you can literally go and click onto a customer experience, configure, deploy it, and start iterating within 5 minutes. So, the reason for this is when I speak with a lot of customers, they have the belief that the people who win, who will win, are those that test and iterate the most.
Right? Yeah,
you don't have to take 80% of the step on the first step. What you need to do is get in there, get testing with your customers, and iterate as you learn and learn and learn and learn, right? So that's a little bit different thing. So back to your question, though, CCaaS and UCaaS and CPaaS, they all have their different functions. They all have their different limitations. They all have their different roadmaps. Where you're seeing CPaaS coming into sitting next to a UCaaS or a CCaaS is that we can come in, we the CPaaS providers can provide incremental capabilities around the edges. We can then to fill in gaps or potential gaps in the CPaaS, in the CCaaS platform. Yeah. And we can also offer new kinds of work streams and resiliency, redundancy, and scalability that they may not have on the roadmap for several years. I was recently with a large customer who's moving off of a particular CCaaS platform because they looked at the roadmap. They saw the things they really needed were quite a few months or if not years out. And they didn't believe that company had the scalable architecture to allow them to actually build and incorporate those kinds of capabilities. Great opportunity for a CPaaS. You deploy what you want, come in, fill around the gaps, add in new incremental experiences. And what we've seen is that people who've been using our platform realize it's a lot easier to use this platform than it is to use a pre-existing platform for purposes.
Yeah, so it's kind of the best of both worlds. You've got some things that are out of the box. You've got some things that you can do a little bit of mild customization. And then, you know, if you want to, you know, really, truly customize an app, you can do that on your platform as well. And you do have some help on that, too, for companies who may not have a, you know, full team of developers, right? You have, like, some professional services type capabilities.
We have managed services. We have professional services. And we'll come out and do whatever we need to make you successful, right? The interesting piece about the CPaaS is, if we go back to this different example, but a customer has a premises contact center, they want to go to the cloud for a variety of reasons. They don't know how to get to the cloud quickly, right? So what we're working with them on is defining work streams that are currently agent work streams and automating those with our NLP and other capabilities to A, get them to the cloud faster, which meets their corporate objectives.
It also
reduces the amount of requirements they need to put on the destination CCaaS whenever they decide on who that CCaaS is. At the same time, they can't hire enough agents today, so the automation is helping them on the hiring side. And by moving some work streams now, it reduces the risk of going to a completely different platform at some point in the future. A lot of good value props in this.
So what would you say, you know, based on all the different things you can do, what do you think is really driving your new customers to IntelliPeer? I was hoping maybe, you know, just in light of all the different goals that companies have now as the pandemic restrictions, hopefully will continue to wind down and, you know, we start looking at a new hybrid workplace and all these different things that are happening. What are some of the applications that you're delivering and how would you say that you're implementing them differently or maybe better than some of your competitors? I know one thing we talked about, you and I talk a lot, one of the things we talked about is that anyone can set up an emergency hotline for whatever, you know, whether it was a pandemic or whether it's we're now, for those of you who are watching this at a later time, just in the week of Hurricane Ian, you know, so that we've got emergency hotlines that are going to have to be set up. So anyone can do that. But you said you guys can do that over a weekend and also even using some advanced IVAs. So how do you do this type of thing differently than others so that you're not only doing, you know, meeting the goal and giving the value that companies need and the tools and technologies they need, but you're able to do it quickly?
Yeah. So one of the interesting aspects about this company is we have a heritage in telephony, right?
Okay.
That was the origination point of this company. It's evolved through the time. And, you know, we still have pieces of the telephony heritage and culture and know-how and capability within the company. And that's a great differentiator for us.
Right? Okay.
For example, when COVID was during one of its spikes, we were approached by several states to set up a COVID hotline. You talk about scale. We closed the contract on a Friday. And the following Monday, like 3 days later, we were doing 1 million automated calls per hour.
Wow.
Right. Join the peaks. And that's pretty impressive, right? And, you know, if you don't really have that heritage and technology and capability, it gets a little bit challenging, right? It's not just do things in a reliable fashion, but also in a highly scalable fashion. We're working with one of the largest utility companies in the country right now. And Hurricane Ian came within a few miles of both you and I yesterday, right? So, you know, this is top of mind. There are disasters that happen, and they need massive scalability. And utilities have taken phone calls for decades, but there are new regulatory requirements that require digital engagement with customers as well. So we're providing this kind of scalability for disaster, when you talk about scale, we're also working with some companies where we can add steady state scale in the order of 10, 20, 30,000 calls, simultaneous calls capabilities. Each one of those will be receiving some sort of CPaaS treatments. Right? So there's a lot of good things that are going on there. And the important thing about the CPaaS treatments is that's where you can provide the differentiated customer experience. You can do a call in for scheduling of an appointment. You can set up reminders. One of our customers is a large MRI franchising company, and they've built an appointment scheduling and reminder system on our platform. They do over 10,000 reminders a day. And what they're finding is that a lot less people are missing appointments. MRI machines are incredibly expensive, and you want full utilization. And back to the enterprise perspective, the value prop is it's really hard to hire people. People are expensive, and we've known this for several years, but with the changes in the markets, with interest rates going up and those other kinds of changes, companies are focused even more on providing great customer engagement to drive more revenue and faster sales cycles, but they're also getting measured on profitability, which means efficiency of the organization, the operation. So the more things we can automate, the better. One example is we've just launched what we call our Smart Communicator. Smart Communicator is an enterprise work group or enterprise worker app, not just a contact center app. And with this enterprise worker app, say you're on one of the popular enterprise communication suites that we all use, you can be viewed at a corporate level. And if a call comes into a contact center and say, Robin, thank you for calling, but you really need to speak to someone in our payroll department that not a contact center worker, and then you get engaged with that payroll person, the company has lost visibility of that. So they don't really know what the payroll worker is doing, that they're actually working on a customer call for a contact center agent. And they don't really have the insight as to when they need to build a new work stream into the contact center. So there's information leakages, right? Just as an example. So that all drives into enterprise efficiency. I need to capture all the data and the knowledge that we have as a company. I need to figure out how to use my resources more efficiently and effectively, right, and provide a better level of customer service. It fits right into the changes in the economic environment.
Do you have any customers that have their whole entire CX strategy with you and don't have a CCaaS provider? Or do you typically always work, complement a CCaaS provider or a contact center platform on-prem?
I think that's a great question. We generally are in a position where we complement a company. Right?
Okay.
Almost every company, everybody that needs a contact center has a contact center. Anybody who needs a phone system has a phone system, whether it's a UC or a premises-based phone system. What they're missing is the incremental capabilities. But what we find is as people understand what they can do with the platform and we work with them, then they continue to move more and more capabilities for automated services and integrated services. But for example, very simple case, right? You call into a company. Well, it's Robin on the phone. Is Robin an existing customer? Yes. Router this way. Oh, Robin's potentially a new customer. Let's router over to a different group. And do all these things in an automated fashion. Very simple, but it saves a lot of time. And as you know from your contact center experience, a second is worth a lot of money for a contact center.
Oh, yeah. And even like when you're talking about setting up like an emergency hotline, we always think of those as voice, but I can imagine companies will develop sort of automated workflows that, okay, we've now got you in the system and, yes, your power has gone off. We're going to send you an SMS when we're in your neighborhood working out or, whatever the case, take your pick of the industry. But those automated messages go so far to hedging off customers getting really angry and putting a nasty social media post about you. If you just can, I've thought about this so many times. Like I just had my car in the shop. And I just thought, knowing the technology, I'm like, there's so many things they could be doing better. And I'm yelling, about this because I have to keep calling them and saying, well, what's going on? Do you have the part yet? Give me a daily update. They could easily do that and tie that in with an automated SMS push, and it would lessen my frustration. Be like, okay, cool. They're on it,
Exactly. We have the diagnostics from your car. We know what the parts are.
Yeah.
How about we tell you when we have everything staged for you?
Yeah.
So then you just come in and you're in and out in an hour. That would be a wonderful experience. That's a kind of great example of some of the things that we do.
Unfortunately, mine went on for 2 weeks, but But I did get it back yesterday, so that was good. All right, so wrapping up, there was one more question I had for you, and that was you and I have talked in the past about the term Agile CX, and I love that term. Like from a high level, it's basically seeing a CX need, seeing a customer need, a customer, whether it's experience or engagement, seeing some sort of customer need and addressing it almost instantaneously if you can. How are you guys embracing that, that whole concept of Agile CX?
Yeah, exactly. So let's go back to the no-code discussion. Right. So if you go to our marketplace, you'll see a variety of applications, 8 to 10, something like that at the moment. And they're self-prepackaged applications, right? We have one that does automated payment processing. So a contact center agent doesn't have to go through the whole PCI enabled process to take a payment. You route the interaction over to the little app, and the app will do the payment and come back to you. We have two-factor authentication, basic IVA, call redirection, press 1 for sales, 2 for marketing, but it's all NLP enabled. And you can literally set these up in about 3 or 4 minutes and deploy them and have them operational.
Yeah.
We've put a little button off to the side on it, and you click the button as the administrator, and you can download the low-code schematic for that application, and you can go in and start tweaking. So if you have the two-factor authentication downloaded and you want to add in a notification back saying, just thank you for passing the two-factor, click on this link to schedule an appointment, you can easily drag and drop that in. So you can start building your own highly customized flows within a matter of minutes. And most of these are relatively powerful applications. We're working on some, it's too early to share, but some pretty amazing applications that are going to be very high volume and very high scale applications you'll be seeing over the next few months. So really, really excited about that.
Leaving us with something that we have to look out for here moving forward then. So I guess that's a good place for us to stop. Yeah. Chris, thank you so much for taking out the time today and talking to us about CPaaS. It's an area that's definitely growing, an area of a lot of interest, especially as companies focus on their customer engagement strategies. So thank you all for attending and listening or viewing today. And everyone, please have a great day.